I hope my slides will be up. And let's pray. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we spend some time looking at His Word. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day and each and every day that You have added into our lives, O God, as we spend some time looking at Your Word. We pray, God, that You will continue to remind us, O God, of Your love, Your unfailing love for us, O God. We thank You, Lord, that it's all because of Your love we are here today. We thank You for mothers. And Father, we pray that You will bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me start asking you a question. Are you ready for a question? Wow. It's going to be a simple, but it's going to be a difficult, right? It's going to be a simple question, you know. And the first thing, I think all of you might know the answer. The first question is, does Jesus love me? Come on. If it's yes, say amen.
Amen.
Wow, that's, yeah. I think all of us, you know, all of us will say yes, you know. Pastor Vincent, you know, I think you shouldn't ask a question like this in a church, because we are here because, you know, we love Jesus Christ. And, you know, and I think many of us will come with that kind of answer. Or some of us will say, you know, theology, you know, God's love is so wonderful. God's love is so great. You know, we will talk about the vicarious atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will show verses from the scriptures saying, you know, God loves us. You know, this is the proof, you know, that He loves us. That's wonderful, right? I think your answers are perfect. And but let me ask you another one, right? And the answer would be, you know, yes. How much does God love me? How much does God love me? You know, I think all of us know very well, Jesus loves me without doubt, right? The Bible tells me so. And, you know, we can even sing songs, we quote verses and all that kind of thing. But the question is, how much does God love me? In a very simple way, it is, do you know how much God really loves you? I think it's important for us, right? You know, we know our mothers, they love us. Our fathers, they love us. Many times fathers don't show their love. But do you know how much they love you? I think that's the question here. How much does God love you today? Do you really know that how much He loves you today? Yes, Jesus loves us, all of us know. But do you really know in your own life how much He loves you? And today I'm going to talk about a disciple called John. You know, compared to the many disciples, he knew how much Jesus loves him. He knew pretty well compared to the other disciples. I know, and this is how much the Lord loves me. I remember, you know, many times we ask our kids, you know, show me how much you love you. And, you know, they will say, they will stretch their hands, right? And say, this is the much I, you know, I love you kind of a stuff. I think John knows pretty well, you know, how much, you know, Jesus loves him. And three passages I'll show today, you know, the passage that was just read to us today to see, you know, how much, and John knew that pretty well. This is how God has loved me. The passage that was just read today, it's in John chapter 13, verse 23. And it says, one of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. So when you look at a word like this, you know, whom Jesus loved, the impression that we get, you know, that compared to the other disciples, you know, Jesus loved John more. That's the impression many a times we tend to get, right? We think Jesus is so biased, right? He loves John more than Peter. He loves John more than Nathaniel. He loves John more than Simon the Zealot. He loves John more than any others, you know. That's the way we tend to get the impression, right? But I think when you look at God's word very carefully, you know, there are numerous verses that says, you know, God loves us, right? John himself says, John 3:16, right? If not, John would have not said this word. He says, for God so loved the world. He could have said, for God so loved John. Right? But he said, for God so loved the world. The same John is saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Paul also writes in Romans 5:8, he says, but God demonstrates his love for us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? And so, yes, I think Jesus loves Peter, Jesus loves John, but John knew how much Jesus loves me. Two things when you look at this phrase. It means, right, or maybe some of us might say, like Saint Augustine, who said, God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us, right? That's the great theologian and philosopher, John Augustine, said this. You know, the meaning of that word means Jesus loves everyone, but not everybody loves Jesus the same way. Jesus loves all of us. But let's be frank today, my friend. Let's ask ourselves, do we love him the same way the one who's sitting beside you? Right? Jesus loves all of us, but you know, all of us are different in terms of loving Christ. You know, some of us might love him so much. Others might love a bit more. Some of us just love him, you know, whenever I need him kind of a stuff. Yes, Christ loves us, but our love towards him is not the same, right? Our relationship with him is not the same. Some might be more, some might be less, right? I think that's what it means here in this phrase. And secondly, when you look at the word, it also means John's response changed the intimacy between Jesus and Christ. In other words, you know, it means that John knew well that Jesus loves me. He loves me, and so what has happened, you know, his intimacy or his relationship with Christ, you know, made a lot of impact with him. That the way he loved God was different. Right? I think if I know that Jesus loves me, you know, my life will be different. The way I look at things will be different. And that's how John responded. He knew that Jesus loves everyone, but he loves me. That I'm experiencing God's love in response, my relationship with him is different, stronger, deeper. And that's the way Jesus loves all of us. You know, my friends, I did not know, you know, how deep is our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not how long we have been Christians, right? Or how much we read God's word is wonderful, how much we pray. But, you know, do you really know how much God loves you? That Jesus loves you. If you really know, let me tell you, you know, you will respond differently. And we are going to study about John and how he responded, because he knew pretty well. The passage that was just read to us is a great example. But before that, you know, Catherine read a passage to call to worship. By the way, I didn't tell her that I'm going to speak on this, right? You read from Ephesians chapter 3. And this is what Paul says, you know. Paul says something similar to John. He says, Paul says in Ephesians 3:18, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. I think Paul says, you know, I want you to comprehend. I want you to get whole, to understand how much God loves you, how wide, how deep. I think John knew how deep Jesus loved him. John knew, you know, the depth of God's love towards him. And I think the incidences in his life shows very clearly. The first incident that we, you know, that we read today is a passage that we just read, right? If we look at it, it says, you know, just to give you a background of this particular passage, what's happening? It's a time where the disciples were gathered together. They were having their meal. The Last Supper was happening. And Jesus tells them, you know, one of you is going to betray me. Can you imagine? Passover time is a time of rejoicing. It's a time where you remember God's deliverance. And Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. When you read the passage, you realize there was a lot of, you know, the room was filled with a lot of questions, confusion. It was a very tense moment. You know, I was trying to imagine, maybe Peter was looking at Thomas and saying, maybe this guy is going to betray Jesus. Or maybe Thomas was looking at Simon the Zealot and saying, maybe that guy, the rebel, is going to betray Jesus. Right? Or someone might say, maybe, the other guy is going to betray. And so, maybe Andrew, the quiet one, don't trust the quiet one. You know, this guy is going to betray. Can you imagine when Jesus says such a word? There was a lot of confusion that was happening, a lot of argument that was happening. The room was really tense. Right? But what's happening here? What is happening here? John is at peace. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, was just reclining next to him. Right? And there was a lot of confusion, but John was at peace. He was seated just nearby, just beside God. In certain versions, it says he was just lying on the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he was able to feel the closeness of the Master. There was real intimacy with the Master. There was confusion in the room. There were questioning in the room. It was a tense moment. People were just looking at one another. Maybe this guy, that guy. But John was at peace because he knew the heartbeat of Christ. He knew Jesus pretty well because he was seated with Christ. He was having a close fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a genuine fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I look at the word, it does not only mean that he was just physically seated close to Christ, but it also talks about the spiritual relationship that John was having with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I was reading the passage, I also was asking myself, when there was a lot of confusion of that nature, Peter could have immediately responded, right? Peter's character pretty well. He would always come and say, Lord, I will give my life for you. Right? Before the disciples could ever speak, that Peter is the one who's always jumping. But what's happening here? What's happening here? Peter in verse 24 says, Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. Can you imagine? Every time I read Peter, he's a strange guy. He always wants to be the leader. He always wants to ask Jesus certain things. He wants, to be on the forefront. But here he's asking, John, can you ask the Master? Right? And what is happening? Leaning back against Jesus, John asks Jesus, Lord, who is it? I love this passage because I think it talks to us. There was a lot of confusion that was happening, but John was at peace because he was seated where the other disciples were not seated. He was seated, right? And he was just leaning onto the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ, where Peter was not there, where Andrew was not there, where Nathaniel was not there, where the Simon Zealot was not there, Thomas was not there, but it was John was seated. So he knew the heartbeat of Jesus. He knew that Jesus loves him, my friend. Jesus loves every one of us, but how much do we love him? I think that's the question today. Do we have that kind of real fellowship in the midst of confusion? John is at peace. I'm not bothered because I know my Savior. I know he loves me and I love him so much. That's real fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. We are not caught in confusion, right? We are always at peace because we know that we have things might be intense, it might be totally, circumstance will be intense, but we will always have peace because we know the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. Question is, how much do you know that Jesus loves you? We know that Jesus loves us, but do you know how much he loves you today? Let me go back now to the second passage that we will see, but before that, Paul says, only the man who is filled with the Spirit, right, will know. Only the man who is with the Spirit will also understand and discern the things of the Spirit. That's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, walk in step with the Spirit. Let's look at the second passage. I think John chapter 19, I think all of us know this particular passage, right? The second incident, what's happening here, right? A couple of weeks ago, we were looking at the cross. The seven words that came from the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified. And that's a scene here. In John chapter 19, Jesus is on the cross, dying in shame for us, you know, filling with agony. And what's happening? You know, here we see when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing. It's John again, right? He said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You know, for a moment I was telling myself, why John? Why John? There could be other people, right? You know, can you imagine? I was just trying to imagine, you know, I've been to Israel together with my wife. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, you know, he probably would have been looking around. Like Peter, who's always there, was not there. Andrew was a nice, quiet guy you can trust. He's not there. Thomas is not there. Bartimaeus, who was healed, is not there. You know, Lazarus, who was given a new life altogether, he's not there. Can you imagine? When I need them, they're not there. None of them were there. It's only John. You know why John was there? Because he was seated with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was having fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the earlier text, my friend, his intimacy with Christ was so strong. Lord, I will stand for you. Whatever it takes. It might be difficult, Lord, but I'm going to stand with you. In times of your need, in times of your struggle, right? I'm going to stand because I know your heartbeat. I was sitting together with you. I know what's happening in you, Lord, and I will stand with you. And, you know, Jesus gives the responsibility to John. You know, why John? You know, there, you know, if you look at scriptures very carefully, Jesus had brothers also. But why John? A couple of things comes to my mind. First thing, I think, if you look at the fifth commandment of the, you know, the 10th commandments, you know, it says honor your parents, right? Your mother and father, so that your days will be long. Maybe he wanted to fulfill or be obedient to the fifth commandment. And secondly, culturally, you know, the eldest son takes over, you know, need to care for the mother. That's a practice even in many cultures today. And so he realizes, you know, he's going to die. And someone is going to need to take care of my mother who's a widow, right? And she's going to be lonely. And I want to be a filial son. And so what he does, right? He's giving it to John, right? It was not John's mother, but because I can trust this guy. Because he knows me. And he's willing to stand with me. And that's why I think he's giving it to John. And I was just imagining, you know, when Mary went into John's house, I was just trying to imagine. It's not in the scriptures, by the way. Probably for the first few weeks it will be difficult, right? Or maybe a few months. But I think subsequently what would happen, you know, John would have said, you know, Mary, why didn't you share with us? Maybe when John's family was having meal with Mary, you know, he would have said, Mary, share with us, you know. When you went to the temple and then your son was, you know, you realize after a few days that he's not there with you. And I believe Mary would have shared, right? And then John would have said, you know, why didn't you share with us, you know, the incident that took place in Cana of Galilee? And Mary would have said, yeah, you know, we went to the wedding and wine was not there. I looked at my son. I told him, you take care. You know, he was so gracious, so wonderful guy. He helped me. You know, can you imagine? I was just trying to imagine what a blessing to have the mother of Jesus, the earthly mother of Jesus, in your home, fellowshipping with you, you know, having a conversation with you, yes, having a meal together with you, my friend. I think that's important, right? Because John was faithful. He was seated where no one wants to be seated. And he wants to be standing where no one wants to be found standing. He wants to be near the cross. He wanted to identify with Christ in his suffering, right? He could have easily run away. But he wants to be there because, Lord, I love you. And I know you love me. I know how much you love me. And I'll be standing there for you. I'll take care. I'll be faithful. Tradition says, according to, you know, a tradition, it says John left Jerusalem only when Mary died. Until then, he was taking care of Mary to the last. He was faithful because he knew his master loved him so much. He knows the love of his master, my friend. Not a general statement, Jesus loves me, this I know. Lastly, let me finish with this. You know, the last passage is in John chapter 21, right? And this is an incident that you all know, you know. Peter has been asked the question 3 times, right? Do you love me, Peter? And Peter says, Lord, you know, I love you. I think that's a passage in chapter 21. And so Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And so what's happening? So he realizes, Peter realizes that John is following them and John is around. So this was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, this was a question. He said, Lord, what about him? In other words, Jesus was giving him a responsibility. Peter, feed my lamb, feed my sheep. Can you do this? I want you to do this if you love me, Peter. And so instead of, you know, yes, Lord, he said yes. But then he looks at Jesus and says, what about John? Right? Yes, you want me to, you know, feed your lamb, your sheep, right? Take care, tend, whatever it is, I will do. What about that guy? What about this John, right? What about him? And Jesus answered, he said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Right? You must follow me. In other words, in simple term, in layman's term, Jesus says, you know, you do what you are supposed to do. John knows what to do. That's the simple layman's term. Or maybe if I be a bit more cruel, I would say, mind your own business kind of a thing. John knows what to do. Right? He knows what to do. And he will do. And I think when you look at the life of John's ministry, you know, the way he served Christ was very powerful, very interesting. He lived a very long life. Compared to all the disciples, he was the last one who died. But John's ministry was very unique, right? Because when you look at the writings of John, particularly what happens, I think, he writes the book of Revelation. When you read the first chapter of Revelation, it's very powerful. You know, every time I read Revelation, that's a unique ministry. You know, God reveals to John what is going to happen about the coming kingdom. God reveals to him about the tribulation, the suffering, about the rapture, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he's going to establish. You know, come on, you don't reveal all these secrets to someone, a stranger. You're not going to give such things, but John has been given all this, right? Read the prologue of Revelation chapter 1. It's wonderful because I think you reveal the mysteries of heaven. The secrets of heaven to the ones you trust, right? And John was given that secrets, the prophecies, right? And if you realize, it says the revelation of, if you look, the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant what's must soon take place. And then if you realize, in verse 9 onwards, he says, you know, it's been given to me. It's a unique and a powerful ministry. Today, you know, when we read the book of Revelation, we know my Jesus is going to come back. What are the things that's going to happen, right? And how God is going to establish his kingdom. We talk about the book of life, everything, my friend. You know, it was revealed to this John because you know why? He was seated where others will not sit. He was standing where others will not stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why God was able, willing to reveal to him the secret, the mysteries, my friend. And today you and I know, are reading. And then we read when we want to know, you know, what's going to happen in terms of the future. What a powerful ministry that God gave to John, right? Let me finish with the same question again. How much does God love you? I don't want the simple answer again, you know, God loves me. But do you really know how much God loves you? How much God loves you? Do you really know that answer? If you really know how much he loves you, let me tell you, you'll be like John. You'll be seated where even others will not sit, but you are willing to sit with him, to have fellowship with him where others might not. You will want to feel the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will stand for him. Maybe others might not stand, my friend, but you are willing to stand because you know how much that Master loves you. How much that God loves you. Let's pray. John could have easily joined in their conversation and said, you know, Lord, it's not me who's going to deny you or betray you. There's confusion in the room. It was a very tense moment. Can you imagine? Probably they were saying, pinpointing one another, who is going to betray? Who is going to betray this master? But John was at peace because he knew Jesus very well. And he had a very unique relationship with Jesus Christ. Peter could immediately ask the master, Lord, tell me. But Peter is asking John, why don't you ask the master? Because he knows John was close to the master. Dear friends, I think we know Jesus loves us. But how much Jesus loves you today? John was willing to stand for Christ. Not Matthias, not Lazarus, not Peter, but John was willing to stand. And God gave him a unique and a wonderful, powerful ministry. How much do you love him today? Or how much do you know that Jesus loves you? Father, we pray, God, that you will speak to us. Help us, O Lord, as your people to reflect on the words that we heard today. Very easily, Lord, we say that Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me, because I know. But help us, O Lord, to answer the hard question, how much we thank you, Lord, for your love once again. In Jesus' name we pray.